Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix for Wednesday, November 23rd, 2016. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando's stroller rentals and an authorized Walt Disney World stroller vendor. Today, I'm talking once again with Nathan Trent, this time about his recent fall trip to Walt Disney World. Welcome back to the show, Nate.
Hello, humans. I remembered this time.
So it's been a little while since you've been on with us for a trip report. We're almost as excited to hear about it as you were to go back. This was kind of unique. Although it struck me afterwards, maybe a little bit like the trip that you and your son took when you and I met up at Walt Disney World, you kind of piggybacked on a friend relative's vacation here.
That's correct. It was my nephew's first trip, and my brother-in-law and sister-in-law were nice enough to invite me along. And
excellent.
I found a way to go. So,
I'm interested to hear, initially, we always talk about planning stages, and this is a kind of a unique trip to talk about planning for, because you were working with your family members here, planning this first trip as their travel agent and helping them get their plans arranged. And at the same time, you were planning some elements that you would experience with them and some things that you would do separately solo at the same time. So talk a little bit about how that planning came together.
Well, as a travel agent, I booked this trip back in February and I was not part of the plan then. At the 180 day mark, even when I made fast passes, I was still not part of the plan yet.
Okay. So you did all the planning, obviously with them in mind, with the first trip in mind. How then were you able to blend yourself in with the things that had already been planned for them?
Actually, it was pretty easy. I joined in at about the 60 day mark, right before fast passes. That worked out pretty good.
So after dining, but before fast passes. So that's a good catch, right? It would have been maybe a little trickier if you had been joining in at 30 days or 15 days in advance.
That's correct. Okay. I had a windfall of bonuses from my work, which allowed me to go on the trip because otherwise I would not have made it.
All right. So nice when those things fall together.
Yes.
What things did you kind of pick out that you knew going in you wanted to probably do on your own?
On my own. My first chance to experience the Food and Wine Festival.
Okay.
Solo. And then there were a couple of new nighttime things at Animal Kingdom I knew I wanted to see that they may not be interested in. They tend to give out early in the day.
Right. So, were there things that you were especially excited to be able to experience with them, especially since it was a first trip for your nephew?
Yeah, I tried to experience a lot with my nephew. I got to ride his first ride with him, believe it or not. Me and his dad rode Aladdin's carpets with him. on it for his very first ride.
Interesting choice for a first ride.
He saw it, and that's what he wanted. So
there you go. That's all she wrote.
Yeah, we were making our way to Pirates, and he wanted to ride that. So, got a lot of interesting things that I ended up getting to do with him that I figured they would want to do. I ended up riding Dumbo with him.
Uh-huh.
And Haunted Mansion.
Interesting. So you ended up kind of playing, you know, personal tour guide as well in some ways, actually taking him on attractions that, you know, for whatever reason, his parents chose, you know, either not to ride with him or not to ride and to let you kind of take the lead on.
Well, it's the thing is when Uncle Nate was there, he wanted to ride with Uncle Nate, and I kept trying to dissuade Dad. I was like, you need to ride with your mom and dad or your aunt or your grandma, who is also here.
Hey, he recognized who the expert was, and
yeah.
That's where he wanted to be.
Yeah. So.
All right. So let's kind of go into our usual formula here and talk about highlights, because it's been a little while since you've been back to Walt Disney World, and there have been some changes, really, I think, at just about all the parks in one way or another. And why don't we start this time at the Magic Kingdom, because I'm sure you spent a pretty good chunk of time there since you were there for your nephew's first trip. What were things that you found in the Magic Kingdom that really stood out to you one way or the other, you know, good, bad, but made an impression?
Well, one thing I did get to experience solo was the new Skipper's Canteen. That had not been opened since I've been last.
Okay.
And had a really excellent meal there.
So what did you have at the canteen? Because the menu has changed a little bit just recently.
Yes, I got the lamb chops.
Okay. And what did you think of them? You said in general the meal was excellent, but...
Yes. I love the humor of the wait staff there, you know, sat down and he says, would you like to hear about our menu? And I'm like, well, sure. I kind of knew what I was going to get, but I just wanted to see what he said. He says, well, it's made of paper and it's got a lot of words and pictures on it. I was like, perfect.
yeah. Perfect dad humor.
So, but yeah, the pork chops were excellent. My table mates sitting at the table next to me were really generous and let me sample their appetizers while they were sitting there.
Well, that's nice.
I didn't ask. They just offered. I'm like, are you kidding? I'm like, sure.
Hey, you know, there are dads I can think of who would have just taken the opportunity if they were sitting on the edge of the table and not paying attention to them. So.
Yeah. The pork chops were excellent. Probably have those again. But there's such a diverse menu there, I've got to try something different the next time.
Sure. Now, which appetizers did you get to taste? Do you remember?
It was an Asian little, kind of like a pot sticker thing.
Oh, okay. The dumplings.
Yes.
And what did you think of those?
Those were excellent.
All right.
Excellent. I got to sample the Kungaloosh dessert.
Oh, yeah.
That was very good. And one other fruit juice drinks. I can't remember which one it was. It had the mango juice in it. Can't remember the name of it.
Was it the one that had the spice stuff on the rim, the chili powder?
Yes. Yes, that's the one.
Okay. I don't remember what it's called either, but I remember that that's the drink.
Yeah. That was very good. Very tasty.
All right. So a thumbs up on Skipper's Canteen. Anything else about Magic Kingdom?
Anything else? This night in particular, we had to leave before the Halloween party, but outside of that, you know, got to see the Halloween decorations. I'd seen those a long time ago, but that was pretty neat. And this our first day of Magic Kingdom was Halloween Day, so we had it opened up at 7 a.m. I got to ride the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train like three times in a row that morning. I arrived by myself in the morning at 7 a.m. The rest of the family didn't show up till about noon after I was done at Skipper's.
All right. So Now, this is interesting. So Magic Kingdom was 7 a.m. normal opening time, or was that an extra magic hour from an 8 a.m. opening?
Extra magic from an 8 a.m. opening.
Okay. And those don't usually show up on the calendar. Those are the kinds of things that usually, you know, Disney kind of initially will have an opening set for 9 a.m. with an 8 a.m. extra magic hours, and then they see the crowds are going to be a little higher than they expected. And so you'll get in the week or two, sometimes even prior to a trip. This is why it's important, right, to check back on those park hours, because, you know, they'll update park hours just to make sure they can accommodate the size of the crowd they expect, and they'll extend hours.
Yes, I noticed it about maybe 3 weeks before we left.
Okay.
Yeah, that
so
was
just
going
in that
to be
last
the
month.
That's right. I told the family, they're like, you're probably doing that by yourself, because that's our day after our travel day.
Fair enough. Like,
I say, I'm good. I can do that.
All right. And you know, I think that's a great opportunity when they do that. It's a little frustrating sometimes that you see, because usually those kinds of extended park hours are accompanied by an update to the expected crowd level as well. And, you know, that can make people unhappy. But if you can get yourself there at 7 a.m., it's a great opportunity, because they really do, you know, yeah, they're trying to accommodate the crowd, but the crowd doesn't show up at 7 a.m.
Yeah, that was very light crowds. Like I said, I got to ride Seven Dwarfs Mine Train 3 times in a row as pretty much a walk-on. So
yeah, that doesn't happen.
No. I felt very fortunate. And once I finished that, I tried my first go at Facebook Live from the TTA.
Yes.
And I discovered that you can't use Wi-Fi on that. You have to use your 4G connection if you have a phone.
Yeah, yeah. I can't decide whether it's a matter of the Wi-Fi connection not being able to be maintained, or if they're actually blocking the streaming video now, at least on some nodes, just to help keep the bandwidth under control.
Yeah, my first attempt was, when I went back and watched it, was very pixelated. So I was like, well, that's not going to work.
Well, I know lots of people appreciated the Facebook Live that you were doing on and off during your trip. So thanks for that.
It was
showing up on your feed, and I think a couple of times in the Diz Dads group as well, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So, some great experiences during the extra magic hours, and also with Skipper's Canteen. Can you think of any other Magic Kingdom issues before we bounce to the next topic?
My nephew did not like his attempt on the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. His dad, I had fast passes for them on that. And his dad rode with him, and he said he was fine until the ride slowed down and went in the tunnel, and he has issues with loud noises, and it was so loud in there, it freaked him out.
Oh, okay.
He did not like that. But on the other hand, he loved the Haunted Mansion. Kept asking to go back on the Haunted Mansion side of
the ride. All right. Well, hey, give the boy credit. That's a classic. Gotta love the classic attractions. All right, so that's Magic Kingdom. Let's go ahead and hop the monorail and skip ourselves over to Epcot, where, you know, I know you spent some time solo at Food and Wine Festival. Did your nephew and the rest of your family spend some other time at Epcot with you as well?
Really, I did not spend a lot of time with them in Epcot. Later in the trip, they had a reservation at Acres Juice, the whole traveling party, except for me.
Okay.
And they had their princess meet and greet, and they were kind of iffy on the food there, but they had a good time. And we were waiting for Frozen. We had fast passes for that, and we were waiting for it, and our fast pass arrived, and we were waiting on one of our party members to show up. They had run off somewhere, and as soon as we get there, they shut the door. So this ride is down for now.
So now, did you eventually get a chance to ride the new Frozen Ever After?
I did not. One of the party groups did, but I personally did not. Highlights from Epcot, I would guess, would be I did get to ride the new version of Soarin', which I hadn't got to see yet.
All right. And what did you think of that?
I thought it was an overall improvement, except for the one scene with the Taj Mahal.
Okay. And so I've heard this before, so why don't you talk to listeners a little bit about, you know, what the issues are with the Taj Mahal scene that it gets called out for?
The Taj Mahal scene is totally manufactured. You can tell it is not real.
Right. I mean, basically what it comes down to is that the Taj Mahal was the one world landmark that they couldn't get permission to actually fly over.
Mm-hmm.
And
it is fake and you can tell it. I mean,
yeah,
I haven't really heard that much about it, but when I saw it, I thought that's not, I even heard people next to me, that doesn't look real. I'm like, I don't think it is.
Because it's not.
I mean, the other CG effects, you know, for the transitions, you know, like the plane flying right at you and the polar bears waving at, that stuff doesn't bother me. But the whole scene being manufactured like that.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like, you know, when it came down to it, there are so many sites all over the world. It seems to me that they could have either chosen another site that they could get permission to fly over or invest the resources necessary to at least, you know, do a better simulation of what they did. I mean, I haven't had a chance to see it yet. I'm looking forward to seeing that, you know, soon here, but it just doesn't make sense to me because, you know, so much of the feedback has been so positive about all the rest of the features of that attraction.
Yeah, it's really good. I was fortunate enough to ride in the center every time, so I didn't get any of the visual skews that you see.
Okay.
That I've heard complaints about, you know, the skewing setting from the left or right, it existed in the original. It just wasn't as noticeable because they weren't, you know, man-made landmarks.
Yeah. And I think that they also, and it's funny, I mean, you would think that somebody would have made a note about this from the first one or something, but it didn't really dawn on me until after this was out and people were talking about it. But I think what helped is in the earlier version, most of the scenes are sort of inherently horizontal scenes. Like even the cliff scenes, they show you sort of a wide panorama of the cliffs.
Yeah.
Whereas the elements that people are calling out in the new attraction are ones that are sort of iconic elements that are narrow and vertical, which is exactly what sort of emphasizes the skew effects.
Yes.
So, yeah, that I'm interested to see whether that, what impact that has on my appreciation.
Guess we should talk about food and wine.
I think we should. So talk about food and wine, or as you've put it for Nate, it's food and food festival.
Food and food. Yes. I'm not much for the alcohol. I did try two things that had alcohol in it, the Mai Tai at the Hawaiian Pavilion or the Hawaiian booth, which was fruit juice and some rum.
Right.
It would have been better without the rum. But my problem with alcohol, it tastes to me like something, water filtered through a sock of a hobo with an infected toe. So
I'm not going to follow up with that one. I don't want to know how you know. We'll just take your word for it.
It's just what I imagine it tastes like.
Oh, okay.
It just does not taste good to me. But and then off of the Weekly Pint podcast, there was a lemon version of the grapefruit beer.
A lemon Radler from the Schoferhofer people.
I tried that. It was decent, but still I would have done better without the alcohol.
You would have been good with just a glass of lemon juice?
Yeah. I love lemonade. I love lemonade. So,
okay.
I'm an orange juice and lemonade guy. So.
Right. That makes sense.
That's why I went for those. They were a little fruity. I thought maybe it would mask the alcohol enough to like it, but nah.
Not so much, huh?
Not so much.
All right. Well, so what did you enjoy from the Food and Food Festival?
My two favorite booths would be the Australian and, well, let's give you three.
Okay.
The Australian, the Hawaiian, and the African booths were really excellent as far as food. The Hawaiian pork sliders were really high on my list. I think my favorite was at Australia's, but they had lamb chops. I'm a sucker for lamb.
Sounds like it. That's the second or third lamb dish you've enjoyed on this trip, and we've only had the second bark.
I had the lamb twice, the pork sliders twice. I even tried the tuna at Hawaii. That was pretty good. I never had tuna like that before, but it was pretty good.
Now, is it a seared tuna or tuna poke?
Tuna poke.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, that one seems to be catching on a bit, and you know, poke is sort of the Hawaiian version of ceviche or crudo. You know, different national or ethnic cuisines have their own versions, but it's pretty much a diced fish that's cured instead of cooked, and usually with sort of a citrus flavor.
Yes. It had a little nice spicy kick to it with the rice in there.
Oh, good.
So it was really good. I was surprised. I never tried anything like that before, but I thought, why not?
All right. Well, yeah. So glad you enjoyed that. So lots of good stuff, it sounds like, from Hawaii. You mentioned Australia. I've heard good things about that before. You said that the lamb was really good. Anything else there from Australia that stood out?
There was a spicy shrimp dish. It was not as good as the stuff we had at the Florida Fresh Pavilion
the shrimp grits.
Yes, the shrimp grit. That was a little bit better than this, but this was pretty good.
Okay.
The Africa Pavilion, everybody talks about the butter chicken. I like the other dish better. It was beef tips. What is the word? Starts with a B.
Barbary.
No. I wish it was barbecue, but no, it's something like Burberry. Berber. I don't know.
Oh, Berber, probably.
Yeah, Berber. Berber beef tips. Those were like number two on my list overall. Number one would be the lamb chop, and then the beef tips, and then a pork slider. And over in the old Odyssey building, there was a craft beer booth, and they had the little piggy wings. They're like little ribbits. Those were very tasty.
All right.
So I highly recommend those items.
And, you know, I always like to kind of follow up a little bit during Food and Wine Festival. You were there kind of at the heart of Food and Wine Festival when it tends to get good and busy. And, you know, in years past, they've had some challenges when the crowd picks up, just kind of keeping up with everybody for the, you know, at the booths, just processing the guests, keeping the lines moving. What was your experience with that?
I was fortunate enough to visit it three different times, and it were all weekdays. And the first day was very early, and the other days were kind of midday to late afternoon. The later it got, the more busy it got.
Right.
Yes, but I never really stood in a very long line, except for maybe the last night. The second night I had made the trip from Hollywood Studios over there.
Okay.
I became an annual pass holder on this trip.
Right.
And they have a deal where you get, if you visit Epcot three separate days,
you get the free
glass. So I was trying to shoot for that. So I made my way from Hollywood Studios an extra day to go.
to make sure you got your glass.
Just to make sure I got my glass.
I can appreciate that.
That was around 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and that was the most busy I experienced at the Food and Wine.
Okay.
And that was on a Wednesday.
Right. And you still felt like they were, you know, handling the crowd pretty well and kept it moving?
Yes.
Good. Good to hear it. All right. So let's then talk a little bit about attractions in Epcot. You know, anything that we know you enjoyed Soarin', you didn't get to ride Frozen Ever After. Anything else about Epcot attractions that stood out to you, or were you so busy with Food and Wine Booths you didn't even bother?
I was pretty busy with Food and Wine Booths. I got to ride the Three Caballeros ride with my nephew.
Nice.
And that was after their Acker shoes, but before the Frozen ride broke down. And I got to ride Test Track just once. I did it single rider. It was when I was flying solo. They were all in Acker shoes.
Okay.
So got to do that. That's pretty much it. I visited the Chase Visa Lounge in the top of the American Pavilion. That was another new thing.
Okay, so talk to us about that new lounge a little bit. I don't think we've had anybody talk about it on the show yet, and it's a nice little addition.
Yeah, it's a nice addition. If you're not wheelchair bound or physically unable, or you have to climb like 3 stories of stairs.
Oh, okay. So that's a little tricky.
That's a little tricky, but once you get up there, you're rewarded. They have the 3 of the Coca-Cola Freestyle machines up there, and they have. That's all free. They have bottled waters, and they have in that room, there are several tables you can stand and drink and chat. And then on out toward the center of the building, they have a little, seating area with couches and tables with chairs around it. And then on the far, I guess, toward what's the next pavilion? The freestyle machines are on the Japan side. What's the one on the other side? Is that Italy?
Yes, that sounds right.
Yes, yes. So on the Italy side, there's another little seating area, more like a break room environment there. There wasn't anything additional in there. It's just a place for people to sit. I guess that was on the Japan side. In the middle is more like a lobby of a nicer hotel, you know, just couches and seating area, and they had a TV showing a Disney Visa commercial pretty much.
Okay.
On a continuous loop, but it was a nice place to just cool off and sip a little water or soda.
Sure. All right. Now, did you get a chance to visit, you know, you introduced me to the Siemens employee lounge. Did you get a chance to check out your employer's lounge this time?
I went up there once solo. My family wanted to go, but they were never in the park when they were open. So they were in the park. They were in the back of the park. So
They were at the opposite end from where you were.
Yeah, the family had one day in Epcot, and that was on a Thursday.
Okay,
and they didn't arrive until time for their Acker shoes. Lunch.
Okay.
So I had that morning, and I went up there and just sat around. I didn't even get on the little quick entry to Spaceship Earth that they offer there. I just walked back down. I didn't feel like riding a ride by myself.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. So anything else remarkable about Epcot for this trip?
Nothing remarkable. I mean, I was glad to get to try Food and Wine Festival or Food and Food. So that was, I spent a lot of money. I probably shouldn't have, but I had a good time.
Well, that's important.
And surprisingly, I lost 6 pounds on this trip. So I don't know how I did that either.
Hey, you were walking, you know, you walk around
about
quite
10
a bit.
Miles a day. I had a Fitbit on and told me I got about 10 miles a day.
All right. See, this is what I'm talking about. And believe it or not, I think that the Food and Wine Festival actually contributes to that, because with all those, you know, all those food tables and things set up, I think that it it sort of encourages you to walk around more and explore in areas that you probably would skip otherwise.
I got to meet a lot of interesting people, you know, traveling solo through that. You see two people sitting at a table and you're like, do you mind if I borrow a corner of your table? And you sit there and have some nice conversation with people. And
yeah, true enough.
So that was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. That's Epcot. Now, before we move to the other parks, I realized that we kind of skipped over where you were staying. So, talk a little bit about, you know, your resort and accommodation situation.
Okay. We had a total party of nine, and we had, I guess you would say, three family units. Mm-hmm. And we stayed at the Pop Century. So, and we had three rooms side by side, which worked out pretty well. As it helped them coordinate with each other.
Right, right.
I usually snuck out of the room early in the morning, so I don't know how they coordinated things with each other there, but in our room, it was my sister-in-law, which is my wife's sister, and her husband, and my nephew, and I took along a little air mattress, and I usually where the table and chair is set, we moved that over to in front of the connecting room door, and I put my bed right there, and I wasn't in the way of anybody.
Yep. Made it nice and open. That yep. works pretty well.
Yeah.
Very nice. So,
and the bed was, according to them, my bed was more comfortable than their bed, so.
I don't know if that's a good, I mean, yeah, it's a good thing for you. I don't know what it says about, you know, the regular beds there.
Yeah. I've stayed in the value resorts before. Their beds are okay. Yeah.
I've never had a real complaint, except that I had to share with my son who's squirmy.
Oh, yeah.
All right. After we have the little aside there about the resort, obviously you didn't spend a whole lot of time there. You were up bright and early and hitting the parks. We've already talked about Magic Kingdom Epcot. Now, you know, we've had the ongoing discussion, Hollywood Studios, you know, half day park for most people. And, you've mentioned before for Nate, maybe it's a quarter day park. So talk to us about Hollywood Studios. Did you spend much time there at all?
I may have spent two quarters there, but in different segments. So,
okay.
This is the only day, but my relatives got up and went with me in the morning because my brother-in-law had a mission to get my nephew into a Jedi Training Academy.
All right. And how did that go?
That went well. I mean, we got there not right at park opening, but he was able to get in line and get him registered to one of the last two shows.
Okay.
And while he is in line for that, me and my sister-in-law were stuck together. We have this love-hate relationship. So, of course, we went to the Tower of Terror.
All right. Well, that works. Now, this is one of the things that I always find to be a bit challenging when I'm trying to plan. I mean, it's hard enough planning for myself. Planning for somebody else, I think it's even harder. You know, you go to sign up for Jedi Training Academy. Did you sign up for, like, first available show? Did you sign up for – how did you – manage that piece of it? And then the hard part then becomes, what do you do in between, right? What do you do with the time between when you've signed up, when you need to go back for the check-in, and then, you know, the show itself?
Yeah. So my brother-in-law got him signed up for, like, it was not the last show. It was the next last show, which was like at 5. He had to be back at 5:20, I think, for check-in. Mm-hmm. So that gave us the whole day to do pretty much whatever we wanted.
All right. So you took the gamble. You went with the later in the day show.
That's correct. And being the very good travel planner I am, I knew this was going to be we needed fast passes later in the day. So our first fast pass was for like Toy Story Midway Mania at like 11. So
Right. So you gave yourself plenty of time both to do the sign up and to, you know, take advantage of morning in the park and shorter standby lines.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Cause that's to me, that's always the hard part. Cause I'm always afraid to take that later in the day, Jedi Training Academy time. Cause I've experienced the rainouts that happen sometimes. And so I always feel like I got to get the kids in it, you know, as soon as possible, because there tends to be less chance of a washout.
We had excellent weather the whole trip. The weather gods shined upon us. I guess Matthew washed out all the badness. So.
Right. Yes. Well, that seemed to treat you well. All right. So Cranny Academy was the big thing. You managed to do Toy Story Mania, and you got to ride Tower of Terror. Did you spend any time on some of the newer Star Wars stuff that was in the Launch Bay area and around there?
I did not.
Okay.
Bad Star Wars uncle. But one of our travel party group has a little girl that was five, and so we did a new Frozen show with that family, and that was actually pretty good. I liked the little storytellers in there. They were very good with their comedy.
okay.
Kind of reminded me of the Disneyland show that should have.
Oh, yeah. It does have some of the same sensibility as the shows that they do there, kind of next to the castle.
Yeah.
Okay. So anything else about the studios, stand out to you at all?
Later in the day, after the Jedi Training Academy and everything, and my second trip to Epcot, I was the only one that stayed there. And the watched the viewing of the Star Wars fireworks. And okay. I have Facebook Live that one, and I think that one turned out pretty good.
Yeah, those were pretty. I only got to watch a little bit of it, but it looked like you had a really nice perspective for it.
Yes, I did. The gentleman I was standing next to, traveling solo, he I don't know where he got his information, but he said we were standing in the spot where the creator and producer of the show likes to stand whenever he views those fireworks. So
interesting.
If his information's correct, I had the best seat in the best standing spot in the house.
Yeah. Well, and it's worth mentioning that this is the now, I think, third or fourth iteration of the show. And, no question. It's really a beautiful, wonderful show, but the elements that they have added, it used to not really matter where you stood to see this show, because it was about 90% fireworks show. It's probably closer to kind of 60-40 fireworks and effects now, I would say. And those effects, I think that there are places to stand that are much better than others.
Yeah. I don't know if it showed up very well on my video, but, some of the projections of like the TIE fighters fighting and stuff, and that there were actual lasers coming out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Toward the crowd. And that was very impressive. And the flame shooting off the top of the building. I wasn't expecting that. I hadn't watched any of the Star Wars fireworks. I wanted it to be new to me. Mm-hmm. So it turned out well.
All right.
And here's an instance of small world, because the guy I was standing next to, the next day, we were in Hollywood Studios on Wednesday, Epcot was on Thursday. I was in the Living Seas and just walking around the big, circle in the middle of the aquarium.
Okay, yeah.
And I was just standing there, and the guy walks up to me and says, "How you doing?"
You either added a new friend or a stalker, one or the other.
I'm like, Star Wars guy. I said, "Wow, that's just crazy." He said, "I know." And he was there with his elderly mother, I think. So, no, I don't think he was stalking me. So,
well, that's good.
It's just a small world coincidence.
Yes, yes. All right. Well, we got one more park to look at, and that's Disney's Animal Kingdom, where you mentioned particularly getting an opportunity to check out some of the new evening elements that, have been added sort of in anticipation. We're all still waiting, right? Soon, they keep saying, we'll get Rivers of Light. But in the meantime, what did you think of the more, special nighttime experiences that are now available?
Well, this was another divided day. There was I started the day with the family.
Okay.
We did the safari and Festival of Lion King. And then my family decide they've had enough of Animal Kingdom and they leave and I'm solo again. But this gives Nate an opportunity to walk the trails that he hasn't got to walk since like 2007.
Oh, wow. And the trails have, I mean, they've got new names now even.
Yeah. So I enjoyed that. I enjoyed a nice slow paced day.
See that to me, that's the way to do Animal Kingdom is to just downshift it.
And then my sister-in-law calls me while I'm in the middle of, or texts me while I'm in the middle of the Nemo show and says, I need you to come to Downtown Disney.
Well,
she's aware of my annual pass now and the fact that I get discounts.
Oh.
And she had her eye on a Dooney and Burke purse. Okay, but I got to be back here at dark. So getting to Downtown Disney was very easy. You know, they had the Downtown Disney buses straight from the park to there. Getting back was a different story.
Right. Because getting back, you're back to the whole issue of having to sort of filter through going from Downtown Disney to a resort and then getting onto the park.
Okay, so I asked... My plan was to just grab the first bus I saw and then go to that resort and wait on the bus for Animal Kingdom. But I thought there were like a group of bus drivers standing there, I guess, waiting to take over buses when they arrived.
Mm-hmm.
A shift change. And I said, in your guys' opinion, what would be the best resort to go to if I want to get back to the Animal Kingdom? And they all said Animal Kingdom Lodge. There's a new bus there every 5 minutes. So I make my way around to the queue for the Animal Kingdom, and I wait 20 minutes at Disney Springs for a bus.
Oh, no.
But what they said was true. As soon as I got off that bus, there was a new Animal Kingdom bus show up at Animal Kingdom Lodge. So,
all right. So you kind of made up some of the time there on that end.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I mean, and I was the only person on that bus going to Animal Kingdom. I had my own personal bus.
Well, you know, it's that time of day, right? I mean, you know, if you're there for Animal Kingdom to do the long haul, you tend to, I think, kind of go and stay. Because like I said, you can just really downshift and enjoy the park, taking it easy and slow. And so I think maybe that midday break is less important. But then, you know, if you're an early get in, get out person, there just aren't that many people in the middle of the day making the trip to Animal Kingdom, at least so far. And you'll talk to us in a minute here about these evening activities, and maybe it's starting to get to be worth doing.
Yeah. I don't know the name of the band, but there was a band playing down the street that was pretty good. I guess that might have been the, what do they call that, Burdica?
Is
that
the Burdica. Yeah, and they play right there in front of like in Harambe, right in front of where Tusker House is.
Yeah. They sounded pretty good. You know,
They're a lot of fun. We like, I enjoy listening to them. They're right in front of Dawa Bar. So, and we all know how I feel about Dawa Bar.
Yeah. The new Tree of Life Awakening shows. I got to see three of the four. That's what the cast member told me. There were four different shows.
Okay.
I'd seen two of the three I saw, but the third one I saw was one I hadn't seen before, had a bear and a fox, and I hadn't really seen video of that. I did a Facebook Live, but I'm not sure how well those turned out, because the tree itself is, even though it's being projected upon, it's still pretty dark.
Right. Yeah, so. And I think most of those, you know, pure projection shows are really hard to appreciate based on a video. You really have to be there to experience them, because, you know, it just doesn't record well like that. It doesn't look the same.
Yeah. Yeah, you lose a lot of details too. I mean, especially when the show's over, they usually project images over the carvings.
Mm-hmm.
to kind of highlight each of the animals that are on there, and then right. And they're different colors, and that doesn't really show up well on camera.
Yeah, that's a good example of what I was talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. The cast member, I asked him, I said, do they sell the music for this yet? And he's like, no, but I want them to. Because some of the, you know, just the scores for three of the shows are pretty, I guess they're original. I don't know.
Yeah, no, they did a whole lot of new music for, you know, Rivers of Light and for those Awakenings shows as well. They did a really nice job with that. And actually I was glad to see that, because it's one of those areas where it would have been easy for them to say, you know, we've got a lot of great Animal Kingdom music that people enjoy. We can just, you know, cut up some of that to use for these little shows. But they didn't, you know, they really did invest in new, you know, new music for them. And it's good stuff.
Yeah. And then, after I'd watched several of those shows, I wanted to make it back to the Nighttime Safari. And my sister-in-law's friend and her daughter were still in the park. And she texted me and said, are you here? And I'm like, yeah. She said, where are you at? I said, in front of the Tree of Life watching a show. And she's like, oh, so am I. And
turn to your left.
Said, oh, there you are. So we were pretty much standing beside each other and didn't know it.
Okay.
Me and her daughter made our way back to the safari, and it was me, her daughter, and one other guy from Pittsburgh on the last nighttime safari of the night. That was pretty. And the nighttime safari, it was okay. I mean, the lion was out. He was pretty much in the same spot he was for the daytime safari. So.
Okay, so he was back to napping by the end.
The other animals were kind of hit and miss, you know. A lot of the ones out on the savannah are laying down in circles, all facing outwards, looking for predators.
Oh, okay, yeah, they're in their defensive posture.
Yeah. And,
so now, do you think that was just a function of it being the last one of the night, you know, the very end of the day, or, you know, was that, were you hearing that was something that, you know, that's just the hit and miss nature of the safari?
I really don't know. I'm just assuming that it's a hit and miss nature of the nighttime safari.
Okay.
I know during the day, there's a new feature where they have painted dogs in the day and hyenas at night. And
right.
The painted dogs were pretty active during the day, but the hyena was supposed to be nocturnal, was laying down napping, so.
So, nocturnal, but maybe not that nocturnal.
Nocturnally lazy, I guess.
All right. Now, did you enjoy any of the, I mean, you spent a pretty good chunk of time in Animal Kingdom. Did you do any eating in Animal Kingdom?
I just grabbed a few snacks at the Yak and Yeti counter service.
Okay.
So, that's pretty much it.
All right. Well, you know, any other dining that we haven't talked about? Maybe resorts or downtown, you know, Disney Springs stuff that is worth mentioning?
Disney Springs has changed so much. Last time I was there was last year pre-cruise, and, you know, still under massive construction in the town center. And I got there this time and everything's open, and so many ways to get lost in the center. I don't know if you've experienced the town center yet, but there are multiple ways to get from one side to the other, and it's easy to get turned around, especially at night if you've never been there.
Yeah. Well, and the big thing for me was that it's easy to misplace the people you're there with.
Yes.
And hard to find them again, because you end up, it's very easy because of the way it's divided up to do the, you know, the slapstick comedy bit of walking around the wall and, you know, just as the other ones dash behind the next wall and you know, 30 feet apart from each other, but you can't see each other.
Yeah. I do need to mention a few things. Still at the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, okay.
My last day was at the Magic Kingdom. I got to meet Bob Chavez.
Oh, well, that's right. Diz Dad meet.
Yeah. I was his second official Diz Dad meet. He met you in St. Louis? Or?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I met him. We had dinner together in St. Louis, but I guess this was his first official in-park meet.
So, yeah, we rode Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. I posted a fun picture of me and him being grumpy on the rides.
Yep, I saw that one.
Kind of like 9 years.
On Splash.
Splash Mountain, yeah.
Yep.
So, we had fun with that. Met his wife, Sarah, and we had a good time hanging out with each other for a while. And
Good.
The last day I was there, it was very crowded. And I finally found out why. The Cubs were in town.
Oh, that's right. You just happened parade. To be there in the middle of the Cubs World Series celebration.
Yeah, I'm like, why is it so crowded here? I mean, I know it's a Saturday, but...
Yeah, you and everyone in Florida who ever lived in Chicago.
I'm like, what's up with all the Cubs fans? I mean, I know they were in the World Series, but why are they all here? And when I was resort hopping, one of the people said, we got to get back and get changed and get ready for the Cubs parade. I'm like, what Cubs parade? I said, the Cubs are having their celebration parade. I thought, oh, that explains all the people.
Darn Cubs, getting in the way of your touring.
I wish they'd leave.
All right. So I've only got one other kind of, thing that's been on my mind that I needed to ask you about. And I know that you're a parade fan. What was it like to be at, during a time when it's not just that there are, was a scheduling issue, but there's no evening parade unless you're you're paying to go to the party.
Well, didn't really miss it, I've never been a fan of...
Well, see, this is why I'm asking.
I never was a Main Street Electrical fan. I'm a Spectra boy.
Well, right. I knew that you were a Spectra fan more. I just, and I know we've watched Festival of Fantasy together.
Yeah. I saw it 2 times.
Okay. So you're still a Festival of Fantasy fan?
I would say 2.5 times. Okay. I was in Magic Kingdom 3 times, and the second time was kind of... As you exit Adventureland and as it's coming out of Frontierland, and there was a mass of people there, so I could barely see the tops of the floats.
Oh, okay. So you kind of were just stuck in the crowd as it went by more than actively trying to watch the parade.
Yeah, that's it. But the other 2 times I had, first one was we had just met Talking Mickey, and we come out, and the parade was fixing to come down the street, and there was a big open spot for us to stand in, and we stood in it. So.
Very nice.
So my nephew loved that. He loved the big dragon breathing fire. That didn't scare him. It was loud, but it didn't scare him.
All right. I think it's different when it's loud and you're outdoors, right? Yeah. And you've got open space. I think that really does make a big difference.
And then the last time I got to see it, I did another Facebook Live of it, and I think that one turned out halfway decent.
Good. Yeah, I missed that one. All right. So we get to our kind of summary place here, and I always like to ask, 5 years down the road, when you think back about the trip that you took with your nephew, what's going to be the one memory, the one thing that sticks out in your mind that is, as soon as you think of this trip, that's what's going to come to your mind?
I would like to say it was his first ride, but the fact that he chose me to ride Dumbo with him. I mean, what's that Q word?
I ain't saying it. You can say it if you want to.
Quintessential kids first Disney ride,
Right.
It was Dumbo at night. Don't have any pictures to prove it because nobody would take my picture, but oh well. Like, take a picture. Like, we did take a picture of Dumbo. I'm like, no, of us.
All right. And then the next question is, you know, for somebody who's considering a similar situation, you know, because I think that for a lot of people, this could be a kind of a difficult question to answer. I mean, you know, on the one hand, okay, so it's hard to turn down a trip to Walt Disney World, but tagging along on somebody else's trip, you know, what advice would you give to somebody who's considering it, who's trying to make that decision? What kind of things should they be thinking about when they're trying to decide whether to, you know, join somebody else's trip like this?
Be upfront with them that, you know, say, you know, there's going to be times that you're going to need time on your own and I need time on my own, you know, and we, you know, they were cool with that. They were cool with me getting up early. Half the time they didn't even know I was gone. So,
right.
I guess I was very stealthy. And for people traveling with young kids, build in a break day, because that ended up being their Animal Kingdom day.
Okay. Yeah. Because they would have been better served, is what I'm hearing, is they would have been better served just taking a break.
Yeah. They would have been better off having a full day of doing nothing but playing in the pool and having naps.
Mm-hmm.
But this was their first time, brother and sister-in-law, first time with their son, and first time they've been back in over 5 years. So,
okay.
So they didn't want, they to had a anything. go mindset, but they haven't been with a small child before since our kids were little.
Yeah. So, and it does change the way you approach the parks. It has to.
Yes. All right. So I would advise building in a break day if you have small children.
All right. Well, that's a great tip. I'm glad you're able to come and join us and tell us all about it. You got the annual pass when you went down there in this one. So I'm going to take that as a good sign that you'll be back again sooner than, you know, be a less of a gap between trip reports from you. Since you've got that annual pass burning a hole in your pocket now.
Well, I'm all booked and travel plans ready for the Diz Dads 5.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart. Right at the start of everything that's new, one little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas. Anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow. Horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment. And there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.